With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Stu.
And this is Bad Screenplays.
We've been writing screenplays for years, but couldn't get anyone to read them.
On each episode, I read an unsolicited script.
And I read one. We pull them apart and decide if they're any good, but mostly try and have fun with them.
Maybe these screenplays will attract attention or get greenlit by First Draft Productions, our own fictional production company.
What's the end of that joke on the office where he's telling, and then someone walks over to him and he's like, just hushes, shuts the joke down straight away.
Oh God, yeah. Oh yeah, and they're like, what would you say? Was it nah.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's so horrible.
Oh man, I've been watching more of the Steve Carell Office as well. Oh, it's just great.
I still need to watch it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I know we both enjoyed the same documentary this week.
We did. I watched two episodes of it.
Yeah, the Mormon murderers. Something like that.
I can't believe that people would say to me, "Why have you got guns in your apartment?"
That guy.
America's cookbook.
I had to turn my volume up to like 90% when that documentary started because he's speaking like that. I was like, what?
I was like, oh yeah, it was definitely you.
yeah, right.
You got an anarchist cookbook. He's like, what more do you need?
Dude, that, look, I'm not going to spoiler alert or anything. I'm sorry, but, well, maybe I should. Spoiler alert. Oh, and actually, shit, no, you've only watched two episodes.
I have watched two episodes,
right, I'm not going to spoil it then. I can't say.
Oh, shit. I'll speak to you about it next episode.
There you go.
I did watch another great documentary on Netflix. It's not really the type of stuff that I've ever listened to, but it's a Biggie Smalls documentary. Have you seen it?
Netflix is trying to get me to watch it. Yeah, I've seen the promo for it. I haven't watched it, though.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Really?
It's so good, honestly. I've been, like, fairly dismissive of the whole scene, especially, like, 90s, like, hip-hop and stuff.
Death Row and all that.
Yeah, I just saw it as, like, they're confrontational and people, like, wielding guns around and being horrible to women. And it was just never really my scene. I was always listening to other stuff, you know. I was just listening to, like, dudes playing guitars and that. But this really sort of gave me a massive insight into why it was so popular. And
really?
Where it come from and where he came from and why he was so good. To the point where I started listening to Biggie Smalls like, at like 37 years of age.
Oh my gosh, wow.
It's crazy. I can't recommend the documentary enough. It's so good.
Fantastic. Oh great, all right. This is good as added to my list then.
Yeah, really good. Because, you know, there's some artists who are just like the best in the genre sort of thing, and they're just head and shoulders above everybody else.
Right, right.
And that was him. You know, he was just that good sort of thing.
Do they say why he died?
No, I think that's another film. No one actually, apparently, well, someone knows. But I haven't delved into the whole Tupac Biggie Smalls.
Right.
I think that's the type of thing that's been done over and over.
So this is more focusing on, like, him and his career and where he came from and the rest of it.
Yeah, just as a kid, and then like his like an ascension up until he was famous, and then they just say, oh, and then he was shot because of there's a feud, blah blah blah.
Right, right.
Doesn't really give much like shine a light on that too much. It just talks more about the guy and his art. His
cool
art,
man.
Stuff like that.
His art,
really good though.
All right. Oh, nice. So all I've got on my list is all I've got on my notes is Reddit. Man gets slapped back to factory settings. Must have been a clip I enjoyed at some point, and I just wrote that down.
As like a, you got slapped so hard, you got slapped back to back.
Yeah, I think he's some little skinny, I remember he's like a skinny little scrote, and he was like squaring up to some 8-foot bouncer, looked like the mountain. And he was just like, eh, and he kept getting closer and closer, and he's dancing around. The bouncer's not moving. And then he just like jabs him in the chest. And the guy goes, bash.
That's a factory set.
Yeah. And the, and you just, and the camera can't pan down quick enough to follow him. And when he catches up, he's just going on a drain cover.
Oh, God.
That's horrible.
Fast asleep.
Yeah, it's horrible. So that's all, wow, I've got on my notes to write. Sorry about that.
Slap back. I mean, you know, to be fair, I'm definitely going to use that all the time now.
Right. Back to factory settings.
I started listening to it, a new podcast. I've only listened to one episode. Listen to loads of new podcasts because I went ages without finding any. It's called The Battersea Poltergeist. It's a BBC one.
What?
And it's, do you know that, the Battersea Poltergeist, where the girl got flung across the room in like the 1960s, I think it was.
What? No. Or in Battersea? I'm guessing. Yeah. That, it wasn't in Hackney, was it?
Why wouldn't that be in Hackney?
Because it's called the Battersea Poltergeist.
Okay. I didn't realise you were just being a dumbass.
No, I was, yeah. I was... no, I never heard that. So she gets like flung across.
It was like a BBC documentary about this household that said that there's a poltergeist in the house, and it's proper famous. Like, look it up. You will have definitely seen it, or you will have seen it like referenced or like flashed up on like a documentary or something.
Right.
Like that. But part of the footage, this girl gets picked up and thrown across the room, and it's on camera, and there's no one. Can really,
what?
no one's really explained it, but people say it's a hoax and people say it's not. Anyway, this guy goes and reopens it and investigates it and goes right through it all again, but it's very, very well done. Really well done.
Really?
And it's creepy as fuck. It's really good. Yeah.
Well, your last recommendation about that Chinese, was it the Chinese one you told me to
was it the Vladislav,
oh yeah, the Russians.
Yeah, did you listen to that?
I did.
Oh, man, what did you think?
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. That guy, man. Yeah. Like, he's just immersing himself in the culture. He sounds like a genius.
Yeah, he does. He's terrifying, isn't he?
Right.
It's convinced me that Putin is basically just, like, the figurehead, and that guy's did most of the other stuff, you know?
Yeah, it sounded like Putin was, like, some... He was just a mid-level... KGB officer that, you know, never excelled, never shone, but he just in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We love Russia, by the way.
Yeah, of course you do. We do. Of course you do. We've got listeners all over the world now.
We do, yeah. We do, yeah, yeah.
Apparently our podcast is ranking in India as well.
Hello, the 134th top comedy podcast in India.
In India.
Thank you.
Although, looking across our numbers from India, don't need that many listeners to be that level in India.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I think we've got, like, hundreds and hundreds in America and the UK, and we're, like, nowhere near.
Okay.
Well, thanks, India. Thanks very much.
Thanks, India.
Okay. So I've sent you a script, Shu. What's the script called?
It's not even got a title. It's LOTR-2T, which I know what LOTR means.
And what does 2 mean?
I don't know.
Lord of the Rings 2.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's that simple. There was already a Lord of the Rings 2 and a 3. There was 3 of them.
Well, this is the new one. This is the new Lord of the Rings 2.
God.
I know how much you love fan fiction.
I know. Oh, fan. Okay. So, some mystical fan fiction. It's not even like Tarantino fan fiction. It's Lord of the Rings fan fiction. Okay.
No, because that would be giving you what you actually want, as opposed to...
What you really, really want.
As opposed to what I want you to read out.
I'm just scanning the first couple of lines here. You might have to help me out with some of these. Okay. Here we go. Okay, Lord of the Rings 2T. External Edoras Day. Eowyn. Is it Eowyn? Is that Eowyn?
Eowyn.
Eowyn?
Yeah.
Ugh. It's like the way the Irish spell. Like Q-J-R... You mean Siobhan? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eowyn runs out of the hall, weeping. She looks away into the distance. A flag comes off its pole and it's carried by the breeze. Eowyn sees riders coming towards Edoras. Fucking hell. Okay, Edoras is silent and somber. Who's Ed? Oh, it's not a place, it's a person. Edoras. Do you recognise these names?
Yeah, you've watched Lord of the Rings.
I watched like... Not really, I know a wizard. And the hobbits went to get the ring. But the little fella... I'm not making this up. The little Smeagol fella got the ring. Yeah. He wanted to keep the ring, but then they ended up getting to the mountain and they flung it into a volcano.
A fucking hell, spoiler alert.
Hey, got it. Okay, so yeah, okay. All right.
I think Edoras is a place, I think.
Oh, okay. Edoras is silent and somber. Everyone is dressed in black and staring at the newcomers in wary silence. Gimli. You'll find more cheer in a graveyard. As Aragorn passes the entrance to Edoras, the flag floats down to land across his feet. He gets his feet entangled in it and he trips rather heavily. The people start to giggle at the sight of Aragorn fumbling with the encompassing flag and spitting out dirt. Gimli, I see they haven't lost their sense of humour yet.
Do you know Gimli was like the dwarf in Lord of the Rings?
Gimli? Oh, I thought it was a wizard. Oh, the one with the axe.
Yeah,
my axe. All right, Gimli. Go on.
The actor was a guy called John Rhys-Davies, and he was also the Fez-wearing Egyptian in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Same actor.
Whoa.
And he's Welsh.
Is he really?
And he played an Egyptian.
Yeah, of course. I see they haven't lost their sense of humour yet. Says Gimli. Aragorn gives him a look. Aragorn looks up at the hall and sees a lady in white standing on the steps. She's trying to control her giggles. Aragorn looks up to the hall again, but the lady has disappeared. The company climbs up the stairs to the hall, but it's met by guards. Gandalf, I know this fella, he sees Hammer. Ah, Hammer. I cannot allow you before Theoden, King, so armed. Gandalf Greyhame, by order of Grimar Wormtongue. Fuck off. God's sake.
You love it.
Okay. Gandalf nods in understanding. And signals for the others to surrender their weapons. Lower your weapons. Aragorn hands over his sword and knives. Legoland gives a little twirl. Legolas gives a little twirl to his knives and stabs his own palm. What a dick.
Legolas, it actually sounds like a female employee of Legoland, doesn't it?
Legolas!
Yeah. The Lego Bane and the Legolas.
Legolas. Yow! Says Legolas.
I can just imagine someone with like a yellow t-shirt and like a red cap on or something though. There's the Legolas.
Yeah, Legolas. There's another outbreak of giggles. Hammer glares at the guards, silencing them. Then, trying to be unseen, he lets out a little guffaw himself. The guard motions towards Gimli's axe.
My axe.
Gimli hands over his axes reluctantly.
Oh.
Hummer, gesturing to Gandalf. Your staff? Huh? Says Gandalf. Gandalf glances at his staff. But this is my prop. Prop? Says Hammer. Yeah, you know, to entertain the king. Let me show you. He does a Michael Jackson-ish little dance, complete with a moonwalk.
Oh, God. Imagine being the Kellen doing that.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, though. I mean, Michael Jackson, he's at this stage right now in 2021, he's genuinely is just a terrifying figure, isn't he?
But there's no one's agreed that. Like, you turn on Radio 2 and it's going, you know, Billie Jean. Yeah. You're like, this was really, Kevin Spacey, they tried to remove him from all these, you know, one accusation and they scrub you out. But they're happy to play Thriller.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to think.
I know. I feel uneasy whenever I hear him. I put Michael Jackson in the same bracket as, like, historical monsters like fucking Frankenstein and Dracula now. You know, like, you see people dressing up as him in Halloween in 100 years. Oh, Michael Jackson. You know, like, some, like, terrifying, ghoulish, waxy predator skeleton.
Right.
Burnt out head. He's just terrifying, isn't he? He really scares me.
He is. It's just, I'm sure, like, you watched the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? And, it's documentary's a documentary. It's not a court. But made a pretty good case.
It made a pretty sort of watertight case.
Yeah. Macaulay went on, right?
Yeah. There and John Ronson.
Kevin!
Oh, God. I mean, I came out of that documentary, obviously, pretty, like, you know, just outraged. But it was those boys' parents who I had so much, like, venom towards. I was just like, how and why did you let this happen? You know, it's just,
I guess people get heady in the presence of fame and power, you know? I know, I'm completely with you. Like, 2020, you know, hindsight is 2020, and you go, what are you doing leaving your kid at his ranch? Were you mad? Yeah. I mean, leave my car at his ranch.
And I wouldn't leave him with me pet fucking chimp.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm with you. Him coming to their house for tea and sitting in the living room and watching TV with them and eating pizza. They go, fucking hell, Michael Jackson's in our house. I can't believe it. I can see why they were wooed by that. I totally get it.
Yeah.
And how they were, like, blindsided. But there must have been a stage where they've just gone, I haven't seen my son for 2 weeks. Like, this is
Michael's taking me to Rio. He's doing some shows down. What? Yeah. You can come. You just stay in a different hotel. Okay. Rio. I know. It's hot. It's so bad. It's so bad. Anyway, Gandalf doesn't mind because he's just done a little Michael Jackson-ish dance.
Yes.
Oosh, Hammer hesitates for a second and then gestures that they follow him into the hall. Gandalf gives Aragorn a tiny wink and enters the hall, leaning on Legolas's arm. Legolas. Grima, leaning down and whispering to Theoden.
My lord, Gandalf the Grey is coming. He's a herald of woe.
Oh, wait, Grimmer, is that the act? Is that the... No, that's Gimli.
No, that was a good voice. He's like the slimy dude, isn't he?
Is it? Oh, okay.
He was the actor who's also in Deadwood as well. He's a doctor in Deadwood.
Oh, yeah, I know. Gandalf, the courtesy of your hall is somewhat lessened of late, Theoden King. Theoden, weak voice.
Inflation, old boy. Inflation. Have you seen the price of tomatoes? Horrible. Can't afford a decent sandwich. I'm starving. Now, what's it you want? As Gandalf approaches, Theoden, Aragorn, Legolas and Gimli pull back and survey the hall and its hostile occupants. A group of men start to follow their steps with hostility. Grima, whispering to Theoden,
"He's not welcome."
Theoden, doubtfully, "He might be bringing a pizza?" What the
okay,
hell's
so this
going
isn't,
on?
This isn't Lord of the Rings 2. Before we get too much further than that, do you know much about the new Lord of the Rings TV series, the Amazon one?
Literally the first time I'm hearing about it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Right now.
So, it's been in... I think it got announced in, like, 2017, something like that. And then a lot of people were, like, excited, going, okay, you know, Amazon are, you know, going to do, presumably, a big-budget Lord of the Rings, whatever. I'm pretty, you know, big fan of Lord of the Rings, so I was a bit sceptical, thinking, fucking hell, really?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's already the most expensive TV show ever made.
What?
And that's just from the rights... That's before they even started making it.
No so way.
They spent £250 million on the rights for Lord of the Ring. And then they're going to start making it. And they reckon the production's going to go like over $1 billion or something like that.
They haven't shot a frame yet. Like, this is going to be more expensive than The Crown.
Oh, God, yeah. It's already more expensive than The Crown before they even like, start to make costumes or anything like that.
That's mad. Yeah.
It's completely insane. There was a bid more between Netflix and Amazon, which hiked the price up massively.
Oh, wow.
Which is just completely bonkers. But,
jeez, man.
So, yeah, they reckon it's going to go way over $1 billion, which is it's just nuts. It's completely nuts.
Where are they shooting it? Are they shooting it in Ireland or somewhere?
No, it's in New Zealand where they filmed it.
The
Lord of the Rings films. There's the thing. When they bought the rights... The people who own the estate, the Tolkien estate, said you can have the rights to Middle Earth, but you can't have any of the characters from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, no way.
So it's set like a couple of thousand years before, so there's no Gandalf and there's no Grima Wertung and there's no Gimli or no Legolas.
All you can say is we're in Middle Earth.
And that's it.
And that's it.
£250 million, please.
Yeah. My gosh.
Isn't that completely nuts?
That's almost like they just got swept up in the excitement of commissioning shows. That doesn't make any business sense.
It doesn't.
All
it
right?
Doesn't. It's like when the main record executive signs a band that he likes as opposed to a band that makes sense to sign. You know, like it sounds like Jeff Bezos has gone, oh, I love Lord of the Rings. Yeah, it's $250 million. Yeah. Go on, fill your boots.
Yeah. How did that movie The Hobbit do?
I don't know how it did financially. It got panned by critics, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it did financially.
The time I was working for the company that made it, like Universal was it must have been Universal that made it, because I was working for a company under them, and I got an email on a Thursday afternoon saying the next like 20 people to email back will get an exclusive screening in the Universal Studios executive screening room tonight.
Whoa.
In central London. And I just watched it go ping, it came in, I was like, all right. So I just clicked reply and it goes, congratulations, your ticket will be, I was like, nice.
What?
So I looked over at a colleague, I was like, you want to go, what are you doing tonight? You want to go watch some movie in the screening room? He goes, yeah. So we went in, you know, we had an hour to kill. So we went to the pub, had a couple of beers, and then walked over to the thing. Beep, welcome, come in, you know, up to the beautiful, like, private executive cinema in an office building. It's unbelievable.
Whoa.
You go in, and they do giveaway. Hey, who's in seat number 7? Congratulations, you've just got a full Blu-ray pack of, I don't know, whatever the series was. They're just giving stuff away.
What the hell?
I was like, oh, nice. And,
And then they go, it was The Hobbit. It was the Hobbit movie, which I've got no interest in. But I thought, we'll see how this goes. I'll just have
all the free stuff, thanks.
All the free stuff. And I don't know how long that movie is, but I say 10 minutes in, I fell asleep. And it's not a big cinema, you know. It's a small cinema. So I fell asleep after 10 minutes into the film, and I woke up with sort of 30 minutes to go.
Oh, man. I reckon you might have got a three-hour kip there easily.
It was a long... I think it must have been a long movie, but, yeah, I fell asleep. I wasn't asked back for another screening.
I reckon there's a couple of people listening to this who would rather be in your position than you were at the time.
Yeah. Right. Oh, God.
I had a quick Google. I didn't think they did so well, those films. They each cost, out of the three films, they each cost between, with that promotion and everything else, between 250 and 300 million pounds.
The Hobbits?
The Hobbits. And right. The first one grossed over $1 billion.
What?
The second two grossed over 950 million worldwide in the end. So even though the scene is like, you know, stinkers, they made the company a fucking lot of money.
Yeah, they made money. There you go.
He might be bringing a pizza.
No, he might be bringing a pizza. Grimmer, idiot. I'll get you a double burger if you just send him away. I genuinely don't know what's going on here. I think they've gone into a castle and Gandalf's managed to sneak his little cane in, and now they're surrounded by guards. Is that right?
Yeah, it's almost, not word for word, but it's pretty much like just an exact scene from The Two Towers.
Oh, okay.
But it made me laugh. Double burger is quite big. It sounds like a Brian Butterfield thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, Brian Butterfield.
Double burger.
Christmas pizza. Is it Christmas pizza? Is that Brian Butterfield?
Grandma Butterfield's Christmas pizza.
That's right. Idiot, I'll get you a double burger if you just send him away. Okay, okay.
Double burger.
Says the Odin. Double burger. Why should I? Why should I welcome you, Gandalf Stormcrow? I thought he was called Gandalf Grey Goose or something.
Grey Goose.
What was he called? Gandalf Grey...
He said Greyhane before. I'm not that familiar with
Grey
that.
Wolf or something? I don't know. All right. Gandalf Stormcrow.
Grey Tax.
Yeah. To Grimmer. Remember, a double burger... He sits back, a look of doubt comes to his face. Theoden to Grimmer. Is that his real name? Stormcrow?
There you go, Stu, get your answer.
Just question, my liege. My liege.
All hail Xanthea!
Hail Xanthea!
Oh, fie upon us all, lest the picker be true.
Rub-a-dub-dub!
He walks towards Gandalf. Late is the hour in which this... conjurer chooses to appear. Late spell I name him. I'll news is an ill guest. What the fuck?
That's up pretty much word for word, that statement, you know.
Fuck, someone wrote that. I used to drink in the pub that Tolkien used to drink in.
Oh, whoa, in Oxford?
Yeah. I can't even look it up, but it's this big road... big wide road with parking either side, and it's got a bunch of pubs. One's called The Bear. It might be The Bear. Is it another one? Man, I used to live in Oxford, and there was dozens of incredible boozers, right?
Oh, The Bear.
But you get people just going in there, just like on their own. We're quite rightly so, just sitting there on their own, just going like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, man.
This is what Tolkien used to do, and... Yeah.
C.S. Lewis drank there as well. I've read about that place.
Have you?
I honestly didn't know you'd been there, but it was a proper little hango for, you know, the big fantasy writers.
Is it the
You'd
Bear?
Probably like the dorks in the corner, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, right. Losers. Oxford. Playing D&D. Oxford. Oxford Tolkien Park. It wasn't The Bear, was it? It was Eagle and Child. Egon and Charles. It's on this big street. St. Giles. Bunch of colleges around. St. Giles, big road. Yeah.
Wow.
It was nice.
Oh, man. I'd love to go there. That sounds great.
Yeah. You can do a good pub crawl in Oxford.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Right? Should do that.
Oh, man. That'd be great. Well, when lockdown's over. Anyway, just a question, my liege, blah, blah, blah. Be silent, says Gandalf. Keep your forked tongue behind your teeth. Behind you teeth. I have not...
Behind your teeth.
Behind your teeth. I have not passed through fire and death to bandy crooked words with a witless worm. He raises his staff against Grimmer. Grimmer, kill them! The hostile guards attack. Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli.
Ruined forever, Legolas.
Legolas. Yeah, it's like I walk alone.
Yeah. Once you walk alone.
Once you've heard it, you can't unhear it.
I want to be adored by the Stone Roses. I asked my auntie, what is adored? I thought adored as in a D-O-R-D. It was like a thick person. I want to be adored.
Adored. Yeah. Aragorn. Right. Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli take three positions. The guards line up in three queues before them. That's nice. Coming up one after t'other to get decked under the jaw and fall left and right. Gimli has a tough time at it. He keeps jumping and jumping, like on Call of Duty, when someone's shooting at you. He's jumping.
Oh, yeah.
Stop. He keeps jumping and jumping, trying to reach the guard's jaw. The guard is Gimli. Oh, he's a little fella.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The guard finally gets tired of it and changes to Legolas's line. Like he's going through passport control.
It was always tough for the odd job on Goldeneye because his head was always perfect height for the headshot, wasn't he?
Oh,
so
yeah.
He always died dead easy, so you never went odd job on Goldeneye.
That's right, yeah, it was a hip fire.
Yeah.
The next guard in Gimli's queue smiles obligingly. Obligingly? Yeah. Oblige him. What's that from?
Oblige him.
Yeah. Danny, I got a Nazi who wants to die for his country. Oblige him.
Oh, that sounds that familiar. What is it? You're not going to tell me, are you?
No. Oblige him. Gandalf continues to approach Theoden.
Inglorious Bastards.
There you go.
Yes. Okay.
And I want my scalps. Gandalf continues to approach Theoden. Gamling tries to go forward, but Hammer holds him back. At this point, I'm just reading out words.
Someone's getting teabagged as well now, aren't they? Like, squat up and down, like Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah. Prone. Theoden, son of Thengel. Too long have you sat in the shadows? Theoden, you mean I need a suntan? I agree. I was thinking of taking a week off to Hawaii. Gets a dreamy look. Babes and bikinis and me surfing. Hearken to me, Gandalf says. I release you from the spell. Gestures with his hand. Theoden, menacingly, Saruman's voice. Gandalf opens his eyes in surprise. You have no power here, Gandalf the Grey. Gandalf throws back his grey cloak, exuding blinding white light, which fades to reveal a multicoloured, spangled, shiny 80s disco-style dress underneath.
Yep.
Theoden is thrown back against his seat. Gandalf. I'm no longer Gandalf the Grey. I'm Gandalf the Technicolor. Theoden. Ah! The end.
Oh.
It's what?
Well done, Stu.
I'd like to thank the author, but he's hasn't put his name on. Or her. But it's definitely a he.
It's definitely a he. Yeah. 100%. Well done, Stu.
Thank you. Very good. Very good.
This is King Theoden, and now approaches Gandalf. Saruman's controlling him, then Grima one tongue fucks off.
Awful. God awful.
I enjoy listening to you read out those ones, Stu. I'm sorry. I know you don't, but I do, so that's just the way it is.
Lord of the Rings fan fiction.
Lord of the Rings 2.
Lord of the Rings 2.
Hotly anticipated, like another sneak peek at what's about to happen, like the Avatars 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. And
I know, I haven't heard anything about them since you... schooled me in the upcoming Avatar movies.
I'm struggling to think that anyone actually gives a shit about Avatar, you know.
Do you think it's going to take so long, it's going to be like irrelevant by the time they...
Yeah, they're going to have spent so much money on it. And by the time it gets to the third or fourth, I imagine it'll just be like The Matrix or something where people are like, oh, yeah.
There's a Avatar 2... teaser trailer concept.
Okay. So it's footage from Avatar.
Yeah.
With some other shit.
Yeah. On YouTube.
I've been sucked in by so many of them when it's a film I actually want to see and you go, oh,
Yeah, right.
Gone. Thanks. I've just opened up an email from you, Stuart.
Yeah, I've sent you a script with quite a good title, I think.
My amazing, astonishing, corrugated time machine.
Yeah.
Great name. By Timothy F. Betts. Mm-hmm. So a thing like my last one that I said to you was fairly self-explanatory, given that it's a pre-existing material.
Yeah.
Anything? Can you tell me anything about this or shall I just jump
this
straight
in? This is a good little one. It's kids playing around and maybe playing around with a little time travel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got that Bill and Ted thing going on.
All right. Okay, that's enough. Make sure I forget to put the crystals in. Okay. External. Porch. Day. Helen, 45, in a sleeveless denim button-down and plaid mom shorts, rings the doorbell. Trevor, 15, huffs the way teenage boys do in the company of their mother. All day. Helen, well, I wouldn't have to drag you along if I felt I could trust you. Trevor, what am I going to do? Helen, believe me, Trevor, I've spent plenty of time worrying about what you're going to do while you're busy just doing it.
Teenagers are the worst, aren't they?
They are the absolute
worst.
Weren't
we? Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Trevor, I can't wait till I'm older. Helen, me too, me too. Rachel, 42, opens the front door. The two ladies squeal and hug. Trevor sighs. Rachel, look at you, love those shorts. Helen, $6, can you believe that? Rachel, my little fashionista. And is that Trevor? My lord, you're nearly a man. Helen, they're growing up faster than us, sis. Faster than us. Rachel lets them into the living room. Rachel, you're telling me. Had to get Curtis 3 haircuts last month. 3? Boy sprouts like a chia pet. Chia pet.
Chia. No, I don't think we did. I remember seeing them on Wayne's World.
Do you have like a...
Trying a yogurt pot with Crest seeds in.
Yeah. But do you have like celebrity ones? Like a Bob Ross one with a big curly grass
really?
Head sort of thing.
Nice.
I have to Google it now. It's like
Gary Rhodes ones were... going cheap.
Yeah. Oh my god, there's a Gain and Britney Spears one.
Well, she shaved her head, didn't she?
So I think you get a bald Britney Spears and then it sprouts all the hair out. Oh, wow. That's quite bad taste, isn't it?
Apparently she... Did you hear why she cut all her hair off?
No.
Remember when she cut all her hair off? Apparently it's for like a drug test. You know, like custody or whatever. They take... Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, she shaved her head because they can do drug tests on you and... Figure out if you should have, apparently.
Wow.
Figure out if you should have custody of your kids. So she's like, nope.
Oh man, she just, God love her, she just went fucking apeshit, didn't she?
So I did the most bizarre job of my life, right? Just working, doing my normal job, and I get a call saying, there's this special production going on. It's gonna be about a year. Mm. They're using new cameras. I know you do sound, you wanna go along and do this job. I was like, yes. So when a lot, it wasn't with the company I was working for. It was another company attached to them. It was like a side thing, but it was a very weird setup. But it was almost a year of traveling the world, and it was literally sitting in a restaurant eating a dinner, going, well, if this is true, then we should probably go to Rwanda tomorrow. Okay, and then we go there for a few weeks and go, well, I'd like to get home for Christmas, and then why don't we all meet up in Amman in Jordan? And then, let's meet in LA and then go to Amman. It was just like the most bizarre trip I ever did. Anyway, the person I was working for, the person I traveled with for a year, whose show it was, he dated Britney Spears for a period of time.
Was he K-fed?
No, it wasn't the dancer K-Fed, no.
Oh.
But I know when I met him, he was dating Sharapova, the tennis player. Yeah, yeah. And that was cool.
That's got to be a handsome man.
He's a good-looking guy, yeah.
Fucking hell.
He doesn't look like Newman off of Seinfeld, put it that way.
Newman. Who's the guy on... Parks and Rec, Jerry, who's got like this unbelievable wife and all his daughters are gorgeous.
Yeah, you want to have lunch with us? No, I retrospectively accept your invitation. Millicent Gergic, whatever her name is. Yeah.
And like, they got his name wrong on the first day and he just didn't correct anyone.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't want to offend anybody. Everyone just calls me Jerry.
It's like Larry or Terry or something.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's good, isn't it?
Anyway. Trevor looks around. Beige couch, department store photos, eroding lazy boy, Americana. Helen, you remember your cousin Curtis, don't you? Trevor, yeah, when he was a little baby. Rachel, well, why don't you go play for a little while? He loved to play with his cousin. Besides, I got a special concoction made so me and your mum can reminisce. Ooh. Trevor spies a pitcher of lemonade and a bottle of vodka on a dining room table. They're getting on it.
Breakfast of champions.
Liquid lunch.
Right.
Trevor, seriously? Helen leans in with a stern smile. Helen, remember, you owe me. Now go and play with your cousin. The ladies giggle their way to the dining room. Trevor follows the muffled sound of a TV down the hallway into Curtis's room. Curtis, 8, sits transfixed on a loud yet crudely animated cartoon. His room is packed with dinosaur toys, board games, and drawings. Trevor grabs the remote and flips through the channels.
Ultimate weapon.
Convert switchblade to jet mode.
A fun factory. Let's have a Play-Doh party.
Yeah. What you got for lunch?
Sandwich.
What kind?
Warthog.
Come on. No, really,
see?
Hey, why'd you change that? Trevor, cause I'm not retarded. Unsatisfied, he turns off the TV and flings the remote. Don't you get any good channels? Curtis, I guess not. I got some movies. Flying Squirrel Adventures 1, Flying Squirrel Adventures 2.
Trevor ain't gonna be into that.
No. Trevor, no thanks, I'm good. Curtis, you're my cousin Trevor, right? I made this for you. Curtis gives him a rudimentary painting. What the hell is it? It's you coming over to visit me, look. Trevor gives the painted stick figures a cockeyed glance. Gee, thanks, Rorschach.
Rorschach? What's that?
Rorschach. It's a Rorschach test. You know, it's like ink and it folded in on itself. It's
What do you see? Oh, it's a butterfly. Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you familiar with Watchmen?
Oh, The Watchmen. I actually went and saw that in the cinema.
I thought it was really good.
The movie?
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago.
It was a little... What is it? TV series now, HBO. I think it's HBO. So Rorschach was the main character in... One of the main characters in Watchmen.
Oh.
There's a Watchmen TV series. It's really good. I recommend it. And it's like you've got the mask on and there's like the Rorschach like ink on the mask and all that stuff. Like, so that's who... Curtis must be.
Thanks, Ross. Yeah.
Trevor tosses it aside and digs through Curtis's stuff. Curtis, what are you looking for? Trevor, anything. Too bad you ain't got nothing. He opens a closet door and sees a large cardboard box with a child's writing on it. Curtis rushes to shut the door. Trevor, whoa, 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 little man. What have you got in there? Curtis, nothing. Trevor, you didn't slam the door like it was nothing. Even with all Curtis's weight behind it, Trevor easily opens the door. He reaches in and pulls it out. This reminds me of that episode of The Sopranos where... I rewatched Sopranos in lockdown, so it's all that fresh in my mind, by the way. Where Anthony Jr. is in his bedroom with his little cousin whose mum was bumped off in the series. She died in the series. And then Anthony Jr., because he's bored with his younger cousins, plays Ouija board with them to try and speak to the mum.
Oh, no.
It's awful.
Oh, no.
They all start crying and then Tony Soprano bursts in and starts slapping AJ back into default settings.
Default settings, yeah. Wearing his vest.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, God, what a series. What a series.
Oh, mate. So good. Even now, watching it 20 years later, it's so good.
I watched a movie this week with Gandolfini in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what it was? I rewatched Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, okay.
You know that Bin Laden one? I was just reminiscent for the old days and thought I'd watch a raid in Abdabad. So I rewatched that.
That's what you were in the humour for at the time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I went there after, but that's a different story.
Of course you did, Stu. Of course you did.
But no, that he was like the director of the CIA and that Gandolfini. He was a big man. And after that, I looked at like he died 3 months after that movie aired. Yeah, that was towards the end. It's a shame.
That's really sad. He's very good in The Loop as well.
Oh, so good. So good.
That scene where he says to Malcolm Tucker, like, you fucking English. Malcolm Tucker just goes, don't you ever call me fucking English. It's so good.
Right? Great casting. What a character in general.
I've watched that about 3 times. I think I could watch it again.
That's nice. That's tough talk coming from a fucking armchair general. Why don't you put your feet up on a poof and go back to sleep, why don't you?
Now, Turkey, you might be a scary little poodle fucker back there in London, but here you're nothing. You know what you look like? Squeezed dick. Got a little blue vein running up the side of your head. See, that's where I put the bullet. But I have to stand back because you look like you'd be a squirter.
Trevor, a box? Curtis, put it back. It's not safe. Trevor, the box isn't safe. No, it's not a box, it's a time machine. Trevor, a time machine? Curtis, yeah, I made it. Trevor inspects the time machine, drawn on dials and screens. A seat harness made out of a waist belt. The work of an imaginative 8-year-old boy. Trevor, how does it work? Curtis, well, you get in, close the box, and think about where you want to go. Trevor, sounds complicated. Curtis, that's why I put the computer in. Curtis points at a square with the word computer drawn on the side. Trevor, well, that would do it, yeah. Trevor plops the box on the ground and puts one foot in. Curtis, no, 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 no.
No.
Trevor, what? I thought you said it doesn't work. It does work. It just doesn't work right. he puts another foot in, which terrorizes Curtis. I'm sorry, am I not supposed to do this? Curtis, no, no, get out!
What a punk.
He's a total punk, isn't he? Trevor, okay, okay, I'll get out. Right after this, Trevor ducks into the box, pulls over the flaps. With a quick sucking sound, the box disappears. Whoa, it's real.
Told ya.
Curtis, oh no.
Oh no.
Black. Trevor giggles. Oh no. Trevor, mockingly. Oh no, I'm travelling through time.
He thinks he's just still in the box.
Trevor opens the box flaps, gets out. He finds himself in External Alley Day. Next to piled up garbage and empty wooden pallets, he stands, catches his reflection in a broken window. Trevor's 30 years older.
Whoa.
Trevor, holy crap! A homeless man in cliche future jumpsuit. Filthy, of course, stumbles towards him.
That's a fancy box.
Trevor, oh no, future homeless.
Future homeless.
Trevor jumps back in the box, shuts it and vanishes. Homeless man.
Damn, I thought I was getting less crazy.
What until am I smoking?
Curtis's room day. The box reappears. Curtis pulls the flaps open. Trevor spills out looking 75 years old. What the fuck? What's going on?
Well, the time machine don't work right because you don't stay the same age. Every year that it moves back or forwards, I think it adds it on to your age.
Oh, man.
So he's gone 30 years in the future machinery. And then 30 years back. Yeah. It needs a few of the kinks ironing out.
Yeah, he needs to reprogram that computer.
Yeah, it's just like if you go 30 years in the future and you get 30 years older doing it, why not just wait?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hang.
Right, enjoy life.
Yeah, I watched a romantic prank I saw a while ago. It was about this this couple with, like, I think they had, like, an 8-year-old boy and, like, a 10, 11 year old girl, and they pranked the kids that it was Christmas, so the kids went to bed.
Oh, no.
And I think the video was called, like, Time Travel to Christmas or something like that. And so they put a Christmas tree up, wrapped a load of presents, set every device in the house to, like, Christmas Day, and then went into the bedroom to the kids and was like, Merry Christmas, wake up, it's Christmas.
No.
And the kids get up all confused, they're like, what the hell's going on? And
how long have you been asleep?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So the daughter goes to all the devices and was like, whoa, what's going on? And the little boy's just made up, it's Christmas, like, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Bouncing around, and then they start opening presents, and the presents are like old shoe boxes and, like, tissue boxes and stuff like that.
Oh, it's just prop presents.
So at the beginning of the video, the parents of video themselves going, okay, so we're going to prank our kids. I hope they don't get mad when they find out it's not really Christmas. I was like, what the fuck do you expect to happen?
Yeah, proper. Oh, that's so bad. Were they, like, millennial parents?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah? They, hi, guys. They spend more time talking to YouTube than they do the kids.
Yeah, definitely. It's like they're all about YouTube hits, like, at the expense of the kids' sanity.
You can't fuck with a kid's Christmas for views on YouTube.
For your YouTube channel.
Fuck, you know, I stumbled across this YouTube channel this week. I was YouTubing something, I can't remember what it was, but they must have talked about it. It's the worst YouTube channel you could imagine. It's two people from Scotland, like, they're married, I guess. He's substantially older than she is.
Right.
But both of them are, they're big. They're real big. Like, I'm surprised they leave the house big.
Wow.
But they do. And they have done multiple videos every day for the last few years. Maybe 6, 7, 8 years.
Whoa.
And they ain't getting any more hits than they used to get. Like, every video's got like 30, 40 views or something. But it's something I'm thinking about subscribing.
What are the videos? Just, what are they doing?
Fuck all. All right. Just brought the shopping back. And it's just, it's like, it tickles that same part of the brain as like when you're clicking through the TV and you see like my 600 pound life. That
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know. Look, this has been a long running thing and I don't enjoy watching that shit, but I would much rather watch. I'd much rather view down. Like, I would prefer to watch a 600 pound person try and wash themselves with a toilet brush. Than some 18-year-old Instagram millionaire going, I just bought another Lambo. I want to view down.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better.
Yeah. That's I only want to watch 18-year-old millionaire Instagram people when they're getting fire-fested all over the place.
Yes. Yeah. Or this Instagram influencer bought a new Lambo. You won't believe what happened. And he just wrecks it. And like a fireball or something. I don't know. I've watched that. There you go.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. That's fucking ridiculous. I honestly think Instagram like was once upon a time a lovely thing where people shared pictures where they went out walking, people shared pictures of their dogs. I just think now it's a disease.
Isn't it?
It's awful.
It's marketing influence shit.
It's just making people feel bad about their lives because they go, oh, look at that nice life over there. Mine's not as good as that one.
When I was doing my, after that social net, was it the social Discord on Netflix. You watch that? That like
I've had it recommended to me a couple of times.
Oh man, I'm doing it. I'm recommending it again. Like as soon as I finished with it, I was like, right, which one of them am I leaving right now? It was Instagram. I left Instagram. Like then.
Nice. CEOs
from these tech companies were, you know, sort of tech officers and people who were paid to come up with this shit were going like, oh, so you let your kids use? No, are you insane? I wouldn't let my children play on this poison. And like, one guy goes, I was the head of making this more addictive. Like, I was the one designing this stuff so people would put in more hours using it. And then when I got home, I was not immune. I couldn't stop using it. He was like, it's so bad. Yeah.
That's like McDonald's, getting the perfect balance between salt, sugar, and fat. The way you want to keep eating it. And the kids just go, oh, yeah, give them toys as well. It's just, it's the same principle, isn't it?
Really is. Rewards.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I came off all forms of social media apart from WhatsApp. It's now March. I came off them last July.
Nice. But
just for my own sanity. I thought I was getting really, I spent a long time getting really wound up on Facebook over politics. I started tweeting angrily on Twitter and Instagram. I was never really that into Instagram anyway, to be fair. And I thought, okay, I'm going to see how long I can last.
Yeah.
And I God's honest truth, I haven't missed it. The only honestly, I haven't missed any of it. So I need to watch that actually. I don't get any advertising suggestions on my phone. You should buy this at all whatsoever. So I think that's obviously all coming from social media. The only social media I use is Twitter for this podcast and Reddit because Reddit's a great laugh.
Yeah, definitely. Oh man, yeah, it is. It's great. But no, that's good. Good for you, man. That's really good. That's really good.
It was an experiment.
I'm definitely cutting back. I removed some apps from, like, the Facebook only gets looked at. I'm on the Facebook because of, like, the motorcycle group, you know, the shit I'm interested in. But and that doesn't happen on the phone. That happens on the computer. I don't have the app on the phone anymore for that. So I'm trimming back where I can, but it's
healthy, and you have conversations with people face to face and stuff. You know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like we are now, Stu, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, time machine. 75-year-old Trevor turns up.
Mm.
Trevor. Curtis. Trevor. They pause, alarmed by each other's terror. Then, Trevor and Curtis. Trevor.
Curtis, it's me.
Curtis, me who?
Trevor!
His teeth
I'm not doing that
out.
Anymore. Yeah. Curtis, you look really old. Trevor,
I know.
Curtis, no, like really, really old. Trevor, I know. Curtis, no, like really, really, really old. Curtis grabs a toy minute and shows Trevor his septuagenarian face. Trevor, why am I old? Curtis, I don't know. How far into the future did you go? Trevor,
I'm not sure. Why?
Curtis, because the machine makes you old. Like, old as you go, and even older on the way back. Oh. Trevor, why would anyone make a time machine like that?
Why would you do that?
Why? Why? Curtis, sorry, how does your time machine work? Anyway, I told you not to go in it. Trevor,
you said it didn't work.
Curtis, I said it didn't work, right. Rachel, off screen. Boys, what's going on in there? Helen, off screen. Yeah, why all the screaming? She had used to screaming dead loud.
She did, yeah.
Trevor,
what are we going to do?
Curtis, I've got an idea. Curtis takes three quick breaths, leaps in the box, and disappears. Internal Curtis's room earlier. Curtis leans against the closet door. 15-year-old Trevor holds the doorknob. Trevor, you didn't slam the door like it was nothing. Okay, so they've gone back in time.
Right.
Even with all Curtis's weight behind it, Trevor easily opens the door. A second Curtis jumps out, kicks Trevor, square in the twig and berries, back in the closet.
Right in the cubes.
Oh, man. Curtis is cool.
Yeah.
Internal Curtis's room, present. The box reappears. Curtis spills out. He hears a commotion in the hallway. Trevor is led out by Helen with a bag of frozen veggies on his crotch. Rachel follows with apologies. Trevor, little punk. Rachel, I don't know what got into him. Keep the frozen peas. Curtis's room. Curtis leans against the wall and exhales. He glares at the machine. I just can't figure you out. It's gonna take top men. He leans at the box, puts it to the back of his large closet, next to the board games, chemistry sets, and other childhood figures. Curtis, top men. Fade out.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. Top men.
It's gonna take top men. Top men.
Top men.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that was a great script. That was loads of fun. And I'm not sure what happened to the old Travis.
That
his name, Trevor.
That never played out. So he was trying to get in the wardrobe door to have a ride in the time machine.
Oh, he jumped out, kicked him
but
in the
googlies.
But
he went back,
then
kicked him in the balls, and he never went 30 years into the future.
Ah, nice. And then he just disappeared back into the time machine, and then off he popped.
I guess
into a different parallel reality with the old Curtis.
I guess by doing that Curtis sacrificed himself because he would cease to exist, right?
Yeah.
By kicking Trevor in the nuts, the minute he did that, he would have faded into nothing.
Or he will have gone back in the time machine to that other reality where there was the old dude.
Oh.
There's all these principles of time travel where it's like, do you actually travel along the same line or do you travel into a different parallel line and you just mess with that one?
Oh, right. Right.
You know, and like, you know, obviously none of it's real, so it doesn't really matter. But people argue about this shit.
Well, yeah, the most interesting thing I got, like, when I was doing physics and they're talking about the sun and the speed of light and everything, you know, if the sun explodes, it would take, I can't even remember, like 8 minutes before you on Earth would see it explode, because it took 8 minutes for the light to travel. Like, if you could get somewhere quicker than the speed of light, then you're somewhere before something's happened. Like, if you were on the sun and it exploded and then you managed to get to Earth instantaneously, you know, then you'd be like, hey, in 8 minutes, yeah, shut up. No!
look!
Yeah.
To jump back and kick people in the balls just so they realise.
Yeah. But then, as everybody knows, if you travel fast and as close to the speed of light, you get infinite mass and it's, you know, it's impossible. So, yeah, there we go.
Oh, man, I have no idea what you're saying. Sorry.
Fun.
Infinite mass sounds like a good name for that YouTube channel you're watching.
Yeah. Very good. So you are you back in work now? Down at the whiskey factory again?
No, I'm in a soundstage building a new set and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I took a week off work because I was moved house, moved to a new location.
Oh, well, nice.
Quite good. And then I'm back in work now, but I'm still working on the same production.
Nice.
But there's a lot of, like, we did it. An outdoor set recently, and there's a lot of sneaky people taking pictures of it and posting them online, which is
really
naughty. Yeah, it's quite
people
naughty.
Who worked on the
no.
Okay.
There's crowds and crowds of people because they knew it was there. I mean, it was all open and people were walking through it, and it was in the news and stuff. The set,
right.
But then they closed it all off and went to shoot it, and people were like reaching cameras over bridges and long lenses and taking photos and stuff. Yeah.
Do you ever get, like, you're doing something and then someone will fly a drone over or something? You ever get that?
I've not seen it. I'm sure it happens.
Right.
But again, and like I say, it's quite rare that I'm on set when they're actually shooting because I'm building them. And I'm usually a couple of weeks ahead, sort of thing. So it's not all that common for me to be around the cast and crew.
What happens to all the timber once it's all done? Do you go and rip them down again?
I've worked for a lot of... Oh, yeah, we rip the sets down, and if it's going again for the second series, you just take the flattages, the walls down and all that, and put them into storage. If it's a dead set, it gets scrapped, or they might use some of the bits. If it's like a period thing, they might reuse the floor and some of the windows on a different set and just paint them different and stuff like that. But it's criminal, actually. This production is quite good with using a lot of the waste for different sets and reusing it and stripping it down. I've worked for other productions where it's criminal how much of it gets binned. It's crazy.
Do you just, like, say to anyone needs some 18mm ply, go help yourself, or, you know, what, like...
It's, yeah. It's happened loads, that, you know, genuinely. Because a lot of it's just going into a big skip.
Right.
But it's surprising how much of it you can't use again. But yeah, a lot of that does happen, you know.
Cool. All right. Save the waste. That's great. What am I doing this week? Nothing really. The summer's sort of opening up. We've got a few jobs now. We're actually here. No, in the UK now, lockdown is... it's not over, but we have there's a route out of lockdown, as they say.
Right,
so
yeah.
They keep telling us, these dates are just examples. You know, June 1st, July, whatever. And don't put them in your calendar yet. They might not. Everyone's booking holidays after. You know?
No way.
I have to tell you, the roads are so busy now, and I'm seeing people out, like, big groups of people in people's heads around here, like, it's over, which is dangerous. But for us, we're starting to, you know, get a few. Oh, we might cover this job in the summer. We might do this. We might do this. So.
They're planning. They've got a plan, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. President Biden is coming over to the UK this summer.
Wow.
And
away.
Is it Euro football this year? The Euros.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
However, the backup plan is, if Europe is still the mess that it's in with the vaccinations and the bullshit, they're going to hold the Euros in the UK. So that's another. I know, that's the backup plan. So they're working on that.
Oh,
as well.
Shit. That's insane.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and the Olympics going ahead in Japan, and there's a bunch of stuff happening this year.
That's crazy. You probably get to find out about a lot of news before it's actual news, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm always, you know, stuff like presidential movements, you know, you don't just talk about that stuff unless it's in the news already. I looked it up. It's like, you know.
You wouldn't say it unless it was common knowledge already.
Not for publication. Okay.
You wouldn't talk about presidential movements unless it was on your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, because who's listening to this?
I've done that before with speaking about sets I'm working on, which is less important than presidential movements, God. But, and then I've had to like hold myself back because you just don't talk about stuff you're working on. You just don't say it out into the open, or you just don't share photographs. But a lot of the stuff I'm working on, it's like this one particular set I was just talking about. I feel even weird talking about it because it's just career suicide.
Yeah.
Like, hundreds and hundreds of people have been walking past it daily, seeing it, you know. So, and then there's people like taking pictures of it, and they're allowed to, really. You know, it's only when they put the sign writing on it and close it all down and stuff and dress it when, you know, people don't get to see it. But loads of people know that this set exists, but I still feel a bit like closed up talking about it.
Right.
It's weird,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
You must get the same pang of that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to be super careful with the social media and everything, you know, because, it can. You know, you say the wrong thing at the wrong time. You've seen it happen.
Yeah.
It can kill you.
Oh, yeah. People just disappear.
Gone.
Bye.
All right, I'm going to disappear.
Yep. Me too, man. I've been playing Civilization 6 again. So I'm getting right back into that. So nice. I'm out of here.
I got my Xbox fired up again, actually. It's been a while, but Call of Duty Cold War.
Nice.
A little bit of that.
Yep. Boss. Anyway, right. Man, loads of fun. Take care.
See you soon. Bye.
Can't you see?